What if they put a fish in each bottle of recycled water?
That's way more money than they're willing to put out.
No, they can charge premium prices for it.
They do that in Finland.
Oh, God. They would, wouldn't they?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But those fish have been taught to recycle. They are, after all, Finnish.
Yeah, herring water. herring water is a big thing there.
Yeah, it's called klarströmming.
You're just skating by on the edge of punishment there.
That's real funny coming from you.
It is, isn't it?
No.
Cold.
No sell. All
right, you want to get the show on the road?
Why don't we leave it here?
I think we're more or less unwound now.
We're not ready for tour. I don't see us doing this live anytime soon.
Are you kidding? This would be great live. We could screw up on stage and it'll be just like the podcast.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure... Wait, no, I don't think audiences... Do you think audiences would pay to see me smack you with pillows repeatedly?
Look, if audiences will pay to see the McElroys, we can do anything.
They're such good boys.
They're such sweet, beautiful boys.
Look, the audience is barely even getting what they pay for now.
Wait, they're getting... Pillows?
No, it's the point.
The audience. The audience is grimacing.
Well, I suppose this is a bad time to segue to our pledge drive.
Could be worse.
Nonetheless, we do have packs of
I didn't know.
But we're keeping them.
It's cool.
Well, we just think they're cool. So yeah,
there was a McDonald's mascot joke there that I couldn't get out fast enough.
We can afford to print more tote bags that we can keep.
I think that will help the show. I think that's really what mostly keeps us from a McElroy level of success here is we just need better tote bags to.
The thing keeping us from a McElroy level of success is ourselves.
Oh, I thought you were saying it was success. That was. Hi.
Excess. Yeah.
Hey, you know all about that, wouldn't you?
I know a lot about excess. I went on tour with Spinal Tap.
I just assumed that nicer tote bags would solve our personal deficiencies.
Oh, here we go again.
That's what they tell me in the fashion magazines.
Look, not everything can be solved with bags.
I keep eating it the perfume samples.
It depends on which bags.
So perhaps my judgment's been a little.
It depends on which bags. Tote bags are good for carrying around your stuff. Light blocking black canvas bags are good for carting people off to the re-education camps. Mm-hmm. It all depends on the bag type.
Eat recycled people. They're good for the environment and okay for you.
This message brought to you by the Soylent Corporation.
So are we going to start this thing?
I figured we'd just sort of fart around for half an hour.
We wrote it down, so it's not farting around. We're actually doing silence.
A bowl of soil and green. A bowl of soil and green.
I'm sorry.
Okay, let's get it. Let's get this on the road.
I would have preferred. I would have preferred the farting contest, honestly.
Singing, the land of soil and green.
It people meet is neat to eat.
Oh, gosh, that's a much better slogan than it's people. What the hell, Charlton?
Made from the best parts of you.
I should be in advertising.
The meet me treat that may have been Pete.
I think we should start up an advertising for it.
You get the can of Pete, it's like a golden ticket. You just come to the factory and you get to meet Pete's family.
This household has bunnies. I mean, you could call it a burrow. An advertising burrow.
Right.
Burrow, I think was the word. No.
Well, Burrow, yeah, we're kind of jackasses.
Who's that Pokemon?
Facts, but better. Welcome to Facts, but Better. I am Soli, and I will be your moderator. Now let's introduce our panel tonight. Hey there! Who are you, and why are you so awesome?
I can produce 17 times my own weight in eggs every day.
I believe it.
You just go to the shops and buy them, don't you?
Shh! I got a thing going on here!
I'm Kelsey, and I am your friendly neighborhood husky bot. Hi!
I'm 6 inches tall. It's not nice of you to make fun of me like that.
So
this is taking a lot of effort to boast myself up on the microphone like this.
I'm sorry, it's kind of difficult to see you over there. Is this Jimmy Stewart or Stuart Little?
Is this better?
That's
okay.
Better.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm huge.
Oh wow. You can just sort of do that thing. Wasn't there a
Yeah, it's the radio.
Yeah,
radio. Yeah, you can do anything.
It's truly the magic of radio.
Yep. This is what they were talking about, kids. This is exactly what it was like.
Yeah. And it's like they compress all the awesome into just the audio dimension. So it's like ultra compressed awesome. It's better than TV.
But it's still in color.
Tell your parents, radio, it's cool again. And let's see, what were the questions? Let's see. Was that who are you and why are you so awesome? All right. Both questions, same answer, electric key.
That's fair. You have been something of a sensation in 57th century choreography.
Yeah. And I mean, here's the cool thing is that Huffman encodes down to like 2 bytes, so you know it's good.
All right. Moving right along. So that the points matter, tonight's prize is this package of Rice Krispie Snickers. For tonight only, we will have an actual scoring system. At the end of each round, everyone who contributed gets a point.
Point.
If I think you were really clever, you still get a point.
Point.
That way, everyone gets to share the Snickers at the end. Who wants it?
I've been nominated.
You've been nominated.
I take no this challenges. Pen, and I put it in my pocket.
Well, but I like that pen.
You're supposed to keep score with it, then put it in your pocket.
Okay. I get the pen at the end of keeping score. All right.
Yeah, that's it's your reward for keeping score.
That can be negotiated, potentially, for a Snickers.
Ooh. Are we already in the trading segment?
No, that comes later.
Okay.
That's after the combat round.
Ooh.
But before the swimsuit round?
Yes.
Our main topic for tonight will be damn fine slices of cherry pie. Please remember this main topic. There will be a quiz at the end of the program.
Or else. I don't know. It just seemed like it fit.
We're going to talk about crossovers. Please describe the following crossover events to someone who has never heard of them. Please describe the Frankenberry Count Chocula Boo Berry cinematic universe.
So I spent most of the 70s in a very small tin can and pretty much missed this one.
Oh, I can... No, this is... All right, these are the old, like, cereal mascots. And one's a Frankenstein, and one's a vampire, and one's, I guess, just extrapolating backwards, a ghost. I never watched this. It's actually not the cinematic universe. They made a TV show out of it. And it's... They made it like Riverdale, you know, like the Archie soap opera. It's like this like Twin Peaks Veronica Mars like 90210 kind of thing, except Jaden Smith is playing all three roles. They have him. I don't want to create a controversy, but like pink face for Frankenberry, and it just it's actually kind of hot, honestly. I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of hot.
So Frankenberry was the vampire, right?
Let's go over this one again. Well,
No.
We're breaking out the easel here with like, okay, we're drawing little, we're getting little Lon Chaney. And all right, this is Boris Karloff. And I'm drawing the little neck bolts on. Okay.
Yeah, you know, you have a very impressive array of little push pins and red string there.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to get out the sock puppets too. So here, like,
oh, I thought you got like a restraining order from doing that ever again.
only for certain age groups. So okay. We won't discuss that.
Yeah. Your lawyer said you shouldn't.
It was only in Australia, and it was only for political propaganda.
Oh, well, if it's in Australia, it's legal there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's not because, you know, restraining order. But in any event,
just to clarify, because this will get out, we were training drop bears for some anti-government activities.
Technically, it was a restraining bolt, not a restraining order. So now that it's been removed,
those are so easy to pry off.
Oh yeah, totally.
You just put a piece of scotch tape on before they attach it. They never. It's even an interesting notice. Bit of social commentary that Frankenberry does have a restraining bolt.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
No, there's some really deep political stuff there.
Yeah.
Don't spoil this for the audience at home. That's season 2.
Oh.
That oh wait, that's, wait, 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 oh did you that, just figure that out on your
wait,
own?
Wait, 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 okay. was that Was that before or after they referenced Fruit Brute? They still haven't actually brought him in.
They haven't actually brought him in. They've had a voiceover. That one's just Will Smith, which is why he never shows up that often.
Is that the best? Supposed to be Fruit Brute?
Yeah, that's actually Fruit Brute on the phone giving the instructions. The, you know.
Oh, I thought that. Was the captain.
Were they the waterboarding with the sugar milk? Mm. Did you see that? It was. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, God. I'm sorry I did it again.
I think I missed that part because I had to get to the kitchen to refill my...
We'll put a spoiler warning at the beginning of the show.
The best episode
probably was... Probably also nutrition facts label.
The best episode was the one where they killed Tony.
Yeah, but that one was... I mean, they just cut to black. So you never actually find out. It just like zooms in on his chest and it's all just stripes. Mm-hmm. And they zoom into one stripe and they never zoom back out. And everybody, I thought that was just like the end of the episode. And you're just supposed to like figure out, you know, he just never
comes
back.
That's what made it the best because it was so different from all the rest of them when they have everything spelled out for you. And for once, the director had some balls and said, no, I'm going to make a choice and make the audience think.
See, this is really some avant-garde stuff. Seriously, I am amazed how much Diggum has come along as a director.
And you know he's dead because he never shows up in the rest of the season.
Yeah. Oh, my God, it's so clear.
Wait. I heard plans for a Kix arc in which we actually get to step inside the mind of Captain Crunch for a little bit and see things from his perspective. And he's the one who knows for sure whether Tony the Tiger is actually dead or not. Because we haven't seen any proof.
Crunch is the one who did it.
Okay, well, we're already in spoiler territory here. Listen, that's the Kix are actually the same. They are the undecoded form of the alphabets. That's before they're decrypted.
I'd love to understand that someone's log witnessed the whole thing and has all of the answers, but like I said, I haven't actually seen this one.
You should check it out.
All right.
It's good shit.
Nicely done. Let's move on to our next. Please describe the Carvel Ice Cream Cinematic Universe featuring Fudgy the Whale and Cookie Puss.
So this is the one with Cookie Puss is like the rope is like wrapped around Fudgy the Whale and they've got the harpoon there and it's from Hex Heart I Stab at Thee, right?
Yeah, that's the they did do the Moby Dick reference there. Little overwrought, just because they made the harpoon out of a actual model of popsicle sticks.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Behind the scenes, that's
actually a clever callback to the earlier bit with the ship constructed entirely out of Tinker Toys and popsicle sticks.
Mm-hmm. It was actually they had a deleted scene where it was an improvised weapon that Cookie Puss made out of his own ship. That was how much he hated Fudgy, breaking his own ship in order to kill the damn whale.
That's also kind of symbolism for. No, I guess it's not really.
It was just hate.
I can't think of anything it symbolizes other than, yeah.
It was just the self-destruction of hate. Because he loved his ship, but he hated the whale, and he had to destroy something he loved to kill something he hated.
Pardon me, folks. I hate to butt into your fine program here. I hate to pull rank, but I think I am the only person who can speak authoritatively about this topic here tonight. I am of course the reanimated corpse of Tom Carvel. Please do excuse the clarity in my voice. I'm sorry I cannot speak to you in the distinctive dulcet tongue manner you're all used to. But I just wanted to announce we are actually proud to be rebooting the Carvel Ice Cream Cinematic Universe featuring, of course, Fudgy the Whale and Cookie Puss. It's actually going to be featuring Frank Welker as Fudgy and, of course, Tara Strong, very talented as Cookie Puss. It's actually going to be rebooted. It's going to be very modern. It's going to be a gritty spy-fi kind of action kind of adventure. Cookie Puss is going to have psionics. Fudgy the Whale's going to have a really massive firearm. It's actually going to be pretty good, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Excelsior.
Do you want that on the cake, madam?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's free. We'll get that on a Cookie Puss or invert it to make a Kris Kringle or a J.R. Bob Dobbs for you. Thank you.
All right.
All right, wait. Should we really just let people walk in on our set like that?
Is that cool?
This is just what we're going to do every week from now on.
This is Jazz Sunday with Thomas Carvel, the reanimated from the dead, to bring this musical improvisation to you. Thank you.
And right. The real reason I'm here, I was just brought in as, you know, just sort of a, you know, sort of forgot the term.
Session.
Just the session musician. That's me.
Her face is actually quite uncannily shaped like a French horn, so...
I'm giving both of you a point. I can conceive of no greater reward for the truly stellar, musical, improvisational... I guess I have to call it a performance that just occurred here in the studio.
Technically, it was a performance.
Am I eligible for points on the show? Can I get my own points separately, please?
Thomas, we'll just give them to Ken.
Thomas, I just wanted to say I went and talked to management, and they said that you're welcome to stay. And I have to admit that I was very shocked to see someone just wander onto our show like this. But, you know, you've charmed me with your musical talents, so... I think we'll just let that run, and I don't want
to call it controversy. I'm just very concerned about this point situation. But I will discuss this quietly with my lawyer after the show. We'll work it out later, folks.
Luke, I think we can arrange something for you, Thomas.
Right. My throat is starting to sort of seal up here again, so I'm just going to go back to give the microphone to Mix Kincaid here.
All right.
Oh God! Do people not know what an exorcism is? God, just let's get ready with the chanting next time that happens. Okay.
The old priest is stuck in the bathroom, and the young priest kind of got lost on the way here. So you're kind of SOL.
Oh, that always happens. I'll get the dagger afterwards. It's fine. All right.
It'll be all right.
I'm okay. I'm just gonna get a glass of water, and I'll be okay.
Yeah. You'll live.
Welcome back. Let's move on to our next segment.
Yes, let's.
Please describe what sorts of booths and rides are available at community fairs held in the following locations. Blade Runners, Los Angeles.
Well, there's Pin the Owl on the skin job.
That one takes like 10 tickets to enter, though.
Yeah, that's
it's
why
so
it's
expensive.
That's why it's only for the best fairgoers. Mm-hmm. Or at least the most dedicated ones are the ones who, you know, have the most money to burn.
If you're going to be classist about it.
It's a classist fair, dude.
Now, look, for my money, and I mean you do have to spend actual money on it, the best ride is the Tannhauser Gate.
Okay. Didn't they have problems with that, like, the first... couple of years that the fair was going on?
They were launching people accidentally off into the distance, disappearing like tears into the rain. It was quite a sight, though.
See, that's why I stick to the tortoise flip.
The thing is, actually, this is a little known fact, Weyland Yutani was actually originally a zipline and bungee cord tourism company in the 20th century. I mean, this is actually canonical to Philip K. Dick, so...
Dang!
Yeah.
And then food there is really good, like this whole big cultural center, and you can get all kinds of noodles from all over the world, but only noodles.
There's also the, I forget the name of the booth there. It's right between the ones that, you know, like there's the elephant ears, because there's always elephant ears.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the guy who does the origami, unicorns using wide noodles.
Oh, God, I missed that one.
Yeah, and they are just, like, It's next to the elephant ear, so the powdered sugar gets everywhere, so they ended up just kind of, like, encrusted.
Oh!
But I think it'll actually add something to the taste.
Oh, I have got to go there. Thank you. Thank you very much for the rec. That's really all there is there. I mean, there's a whole bunch of, you know, just lots of flashing lights, but it's kind of distracting from the limited attractions there. But it's real pretty to visit.
And the thing is, like, at all the rides, the people working there, they really don't look like they're happy to be working there at all. They've all got this really tired monotone thing happening when they make the announcements. It's sort of...
Well, there's only so many times you can hear someone say, are you a replicant or a replicant, as a motivational thing, and actually have it hold any kind of motivational impact whatsoever. And
I think the union rep for the fair workers actually threatened a strike over hearing that joke one more time, and they had to kind of, on the DL, like, ban it from being said. And like, any, like, fairgoer who goes there because they try to, you know, get a rise out of the carnies gets booted out.
Oh, yeah, don't say.
So what do you know about the carnies working union? I mean, you say they're
I am not now, nor have I ever been a member of the...
would you say they're a benefit or a hazard?
Well, it depends on how many tickets you buy.
Right.
So I sort of stayed quiet through that whole one because I just kept having these horrifying visions of, like, tilt-a-whirls and, you know, like, roto-whirls and stuff that are just made out of, you know, disused replicant parts, just like one of those big old, like, twisty spidery things that just made out of Rachel's, you know?
That was fun, though.
They did actually have that there one year. Only one. There were letters.
Well, I mean, you heard she went rampant.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, basically just, you know, you're supposed to at least, like, take their intelligence chips out first. And they're just so, I mean, like, the idea of a bunch of flailing android bodies is kind of cool. But when it starts
tearing
the city apart building by building like a gigantic wrecking machine, actually, yeah, I'd pay.
Well,
it was almost as good as the cockroach that ate at Cincinnati.
Nothing is as good as that cockroach, man.
You remember that Indian movie with all the, like, Terminator 1000-esque things that then at the end, like...
Oh, that one Indian joint? That movie is off the hook!
I think it was Endearon or something.
Well, it's kind of halfway between the D and the T thing. I've seen it transliterated both ways anyhow.
All right.
That was Keyed on Cinema. That's promotion role for our new show, taking place during Facts is Better, evidently.
Yes, thank you.
So that ran a bit long, so I'll remind everybody listening at home that we're looking for the sorts of booths and rides that are available at community fairs held in the following location. On Mercury, the hot side.
On Mercury, on the hot side at least, since it's tidally locked to the sun, they don't get a whole lot of shade there, so all of the rides and attractions are dark and cold themed. So just for the novelty factor, so you have a lot of slides that are in, you know, completely wrapped around so you can get the sun out of your eyes that you go through with lights inside, so all different colors, and then they have the one, like, area that's super popular. It's like the size of two football fields, and it's basically a giant fridge that people go in, and you get 20 minutes for 5 tickets.
You do have to be careful, though. You don't want to poke too much fun at any of the carnies there, because they're really good at throwing shade.
You also really don't want to go to the low-budget parks out there, because they have rides like the Screamer, the Evaporator, the Boiler, the Cease to Exister. It's worse than Action Park, honestly.
The Cease to Exister is the anti-matter factor.
These are the ones run. Yeah, but these are the ones run by libertarians. It's not really. There's really, like, there's no safety gear. There's no park or anything. It's just some signs on Mercury and some legal disclaimers and a bucket where you can throw the money for the privilege.
Imagine yourself in some Mercury.
It's very trendy. We're trying to get the people from the Firefly Festival or whatever it was called to go to this. Yeah.
Now, is that the festival for the show, the insect, or the third string Batman villain?
It's the Silver Coats.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to our next segment. Please describe an ordinary day in the lives of the following individuals. A Skynet tour guide.
Tip your tour guide if you want to live.
Those guys have some of the worst working conditions. Having to maintain an Austrian accent through an 8-hour shift when you aren't even biological is just stress on top of annoyance, and then dealing with the kids who won't keep touching things and setting off your store of nuclear weapons. And whenever they do it, it's always the tour guide's fault. You know, it's never the parents' fault. It's always the tour guide's fault because the manager comes in and is like, why aren't you handling your tour group? And nobody wants to deal with that. So I really got to feel bad for those guys. So I'm going to pour out this Red Bull in honor of Skynet tour guides right here on the floor.
That was my shoe.
Don't take your foot out of your shoe. You won't get drinks inside of it.
It's melted now.
What kind of shoes do you wear?
That was the Red Bull.
What kind of Red Bull do you drink?
You can't get it here. I had to import this from Kazakhstan.
That's not Red Bull.
It says what Adidas on the can. Right on the can. I don't know how. I didn't know Adidas made an energy drink. Actually, I'm sorry. Technically, it says Adidas, and there's an extra stripe. So I think that you might have gotten a bootleg product here.
It tastes really good, though. I've been up for like 48 hours.
Hang on a second. I actually read a little bit of Kazakh. It says, if I'm reading this correctly, it's 143% alcohol.
Oh, okay.
I know that they did some crazy shit behind the Urals after the Cold War, so I that actually looks blind. It sure smells like it.
Okay, yeah. Amazon.ka, give me another case of that.
All right.
Is it K?
All right, it's nice. Ordinary day in the life of a Soylent Green inspector.
It's not so bad, really. I mean,
how many jobs do you have, Keet?
It's not really a matter of how many jobs Keet has. It's how many Keets have jobs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keet is a substantial percentage of the labor force.
Mm-hmm. How many jobs have Keets had? See, that's the important
thing. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't stay at a job more than, like, 6-7 hours tops. So, I have to say, as far as the pay, yeah, Soylent Green inspectors don't get paid a lot. But, you know, there are a lot of perks.
It is all you can eat.
Yeah, it's all you can eat. And it turns out, even in, like, 4 hours, that's quite a bit. I got my money's worth.
Well, the thing is, actually, the Soylent Green industry has changed an awful lot since the 70s. You know, when, of course, you were working in the Soylent Green industry. Yeah. I get the impression you were very young when you were working in the Soylent plant. But
That's why I have the unique status of being one of the earliest recycled humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But not only a user of the product, but an ingredient. You heard it right here, folks.
Right.
And so basically, like, the thing is, I don't know if you were actually kept up. The Soylent Green has really, they've, like, done this big rebranding. It's all, I mean, the thing is, it's 2017, so the whole, like, techno-utopia thing doesn't really sell anymore. So they've gone for sort of a homey kind of feel-good kind of thing. I mean, like, their commercials are all, like, they actually show, like, the processing plant. Oh, yeah, it's really good today. Oh, you know, and the lady with the, you know, just dips her finger in it, and it's, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they show the picture of the other guy with his dog, but then he volunteers, and because, you know, he goes into the factory, he's waving, and they show the movie and everything, and the, you know, the whirling knives and everything. And they skip past, they sort of, you know, shuffle past the whirling knives.
I did really not like their Soylent Farms Remember series of ads.
Yeah. That's, I mean, well, the thing is, that was an attempt to promote their line of cookies.
Oh.
And those did not really go over well because they've got that kind of,
they weren't really
porky kind of flavor. You know, they only really made it in Russia.
Yeah, but their potted meats are fantastic, honestly.
Yeah, they are well potted.
Anything that comes in a tin, just, it's wonderful. You know, made by people, of people, for people.
Moving on to our next segment. Please describe how you would replace one of these items with the other without anyone noticing. A refrigerator with a swarm of angry bees.
That's actually really easy to do. When you have enough bees, they generate enough heat that you can stick a Peltier cooler where the compressor goes, and they'll actually be more efficient. So you don't have to replace the whole fridge, just the engineering part that actually makes stuff cold.
That's a good answer. So I'm gonna vote for that one as best answer.
Are you sure you want to blow your wad that easy? There's like three other people who might have an answer.
But you see, I've got the next answer in the pocket. We're good.
Okay.
I would actually like, first with my lovely assistant Ken here, if you would withdraw the curtain, you will see that in fact I have already replaced the refrigerator with a swarm of angry bees right here in the studio, right here in front of you.
Oh no, not the bees. I'm afraid that I Tom Carvel, am very allergic to, I'm going to depart the studio immediately, and, actually, the bees are now interacting with the undead fluids in my body, and I seem to be transforming. I am the Mega Carvel, and I have a lot of urgent business. I must go now. My home planet needs. Good luck, kids.
You've impressed the bees. They all just sort of...
I am one with the bees now. Yeah. Actually, I have absorbed the bees. I am trying to contain all these bees in my body right now. So many bees. I got...
Okay, let's get this guy out of here.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Before we barf bees.
I feel like I just had a religious experience. I don't think we can do any more today.
Oh.
What was our main topic?
Spores.
Spores.
The one who gets it correct gets a hug.
Damn fine coffee.
And the snakes are available to everyone.
Vitellite's knife, mad.
No, wait. It was
a warrant song. I know that much.
No. It was that thing you like. That was the topic. That thing you like. I don't remember what it is, but... That's
the problem. I like a lot of
slices
stuff.
Slices of cherry pie.
That is correct. That was our main topic.
Does that count as 1 point or one negative?
I get both. I think they cancel each other out, actually. Oh, yeah. I just wanted to see if that actually comes out if we reverse it later.
There's your hug.
Even with...
No, you have to give me a backwards one, too.
Well, that's actually...
No, turn around. There we go.
The mirror.
I'm sorry, you're not going to squeeze your.
So for the point tally, even with receiving a negative point, Ken is actually in the lead with 5.
There's no justice,
and everyone else is tied with 4.
Wow.
And I hate ties. They're like kissing your sister. Can I challenge someone to combat to get another point?
I think you need a sudden revelation in the second movie.
I say, oh, we're skipping the combat round, aren't we?
But I brought my swimsuit.
Also, I really feel obliged to give at least 2 of my points to Tom.
Yeah.
I'm really afraid of his lawyer.
Fair. Yeah, I think he made a deep impression on all of us here.
He's got the Tooth Fairy's lawyer.
Yeah.
So are you going to give him the point and the negative point?
I'm going to give him 2 points. I'm going to keep the negative point.
Okay.
And I'm going to trade it to come back next show and get the $500.
There's $500?
Pretty good trade.
That's a good deal.
I figured it was worth a shot.
It's worth a shot.
Yep.
Well, I mean, no one else has landed on free parking.
All right. Well,
that's not how that rule works.
Thank you.
Ultimately, I think you're all winners.
Aw.
And now, before we go... I'd like to ask Seattle to stop closing all the damn restaurants. Seriously, if you love a restaurant around here, it's an invitation for it to go belly up the next time you visit.
Pies and Pints, please come back.
Seriously, I didn't even get to taste your succulent pies or delicious pints.
And I miss the Rodent Hut. That was my favorite place to get, like, if I really wanted some quick food, just nip on down to the Rodent Hut. Get a sack of 10.
Those 2 a.m. hamster sacks were not good for you.
I mixed it up. You know, it wasn't just hamsters. There were gerbils here and there.
They were open, they actually had half-off capybara. It was amazing.
Holy crap. Now, I've had guinea pig. How close is capybara to that?
It's about the same, but it's a little bit more marbled, so you get a lot more flavor. It takes seasoning so much better.
Seriously, Seattle, come on, get the stick out of your butt. We need better and more rodent-related restaurants here. It's a happening thing.
You know, they are opening the Hungry Owl over in Fremont. I don't actually know what the menu is. Pretty decent chance it might have some rodent items on it.
All four of us should go over there perhaps after the show?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. All right.
Rodent Hut it is. Or not Rodent Hut. It's, what were they called again?
The Angry Owl.
The Angry Owl.
Hungry?
Angry Owl.
Hangry Owl.
Aha. Hangry Owl. Oh.
All right.
My pronunciation is terrible.
Yeah, it is in the roof of a barn.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. I can climb up.
That's
there.
That's ambience, and that makes sense. You know, every restaurant's got to have a gimmick or a theme, or else they won't get people in the door.
Yeah, at least they don't have all that crap on the walls.
Well, let's go enjoy an owl related beer.
Actually, it's run by owls, so let's not discuss that. There's not no crap on the walls.
No, it's not on the walls. It's on the floor.
Yeah.
Well, off we go then. Thank you for enjoying Facts But Better.
I forgot my own song. Don't stir me up again here.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby and have ourselves a treat.
I hope this song's not copyrighted.
That one's in public domain now.
Oh yeah, that's great.
I was going to say I loved it when they would have to when comedies would make up fake birthday songs just to thumb their nose at them. You know?
Oh yeah, you know Mike Jitlov had to do that inside of 30 seconds for that one scene. That was quite fantastic.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yep. There's some inspired stuff out there because you can't use the real birthday song.
Well, you
can't
now.
Well, yeah.
Suckers. That is going to be one of those artifacts. Like 100 years from now, when folks are studying films, like there's going to be this period of time where the song shows up, and then this period of time where it disappears completely, and then it shows up again. It's going to be just this weird little omission. And somebody's going to have to explain why we had this whole bizarre thing happened.
I'm pretty sure they aren't going to have a whole lot of history research grants for artifacts related to film 100 years from now. We're going to have a lot more important artifacts from this time period that are going to need to be studied by grad students in the future.
Yeah. Like the complete collected works of Facts But Better.